Good morning, everyone. This is The Takeaway. We're talking about leadership and budget cutting. Is there a moral dimension to budget cutting? It's all about dollars and cents, of course, but there is a moral dimension. It involves people's jobs, services that are delivered to individuals who perhaps need those services. In Wisconsin, in Washington, what are the moral dimensions of fiscal cutbacks? Listener from Michigan, Kathleen, on Facebook says, if I didn't believe that moral choices needed to be behind budget priorities, I wouldn't be so puzzled and alarmed about the apparently soulless choices that recently elected public officials are making that affect children's health and welfare. You can get the conversation started yourself by calling us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. But some in Congress are asking, what would, say, the clergy do? What we don't have a theocracy in the United States. There's actually a good reason why we don't allow the church to run such things. But is there a moral dimension to what Scott Walker is doing in Wisconsin?
We're broke, like nearly every other state across the country. We're broke, and it's about time somebody stood up and told the truth in the state and said, here's our problem, here's the solution, and acted on it.
Pro-union demonstrators in Wisconsin continuing their protests, even though they've been kicked out of the Capitol building. Several people slept on the steps outside the building last night in sleeping bags. They're continuing their fight against Governor Scott Walker's budget bill that will do away with union collective bargaining in the public sector. What is the nature of this debate, and what is the sort of moral discussion of what union rights are versus what union responsibilities and public sector worker responsibilities are to cut in times of financial difficulty? Robert Poland joins us. He's a professor of economics and co-director of the Political Economy Research Institute, Perry, at the University of Massachusetts. He's author of A Measure of Fairness, The Economics of Living Wages and Minimum Wages in the United States. Professor, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You know, one of the things that gets lost in this debate about what's going on in Wisconsin and collective bargaining rights is that somehow the public sector workers are cast as some very specific constituency as opposed to being part of the government that's by the people, for the people, that sort of thing. How did this happen?
A very odd twist, isn't it? Well, it's all tied to the financial crisis and Great Recession, which, of course, was caused by hyper-speculation on Wall Street, not by pay scales of elementary school teachers and nurses in public hospitals. So what really happened is that the recession blew a gigantic hole in the finances of the public sector because the public sector obviously relies on tax revenues from our incomes, our sales, and the values of our properties. And our incomes went down due to the recession. Our purchases went down, so sales tax revenues went down, and property tax revenues went down because of the collapse of real estate. So overall tax revenues for the state and local governments fell by 13%. Relative to 2007, before the recession. So that's what the cause of the crisis is. And now, of course, when these things all collapse immediately, you still have to run schools, you still have to run hospitals, you still have to run police stations, you still have to care for our parks. And so we have budgets for these things that, you know, are not supposed to be dependent on the level of Wall Street speculation and irresponsibility there.
Although Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin says there is a reality, an arithmetic reality. We can't run a deficit in states. They have to balance their budget, and so something has to be cut. And I'm wondering if public sector workers aren't complicit here in some sense in that I don't have the opportunity for the spectacular pension that the retired cops who work in my neighborhood have, or the retired teachers who my aunt on my wife's side is fabulously independent in her retirement, and that kind of pension isn't available to me. Do they cast themselves as being more of a special interest with some of these benefit packages?
Well, the facts are these. On average, public sector workers make less than private sector workers with equivalent ages and educational levels. So that's one of the falsehoods that's getting spread around, is that they make these spectacular compensation levels. And so when I say they make less on average, I'm including pensions, benefits of other kinds, as well as wages. So on average, throughout the country, public sector workers make 4% less not more, including everything, they make less than private sector workers. Now, it's true that on average, the proportion of total compensation for public sector workers goes more into their pensions. But that's supposed to compensate them for the fact that their wages are significantly lower.
Is there a cost, Robert Poland, to the idea and the ability to collectively bargain of a union that's independent to the wages and benefits, which union members in Wisconsin have already agreed to give back?
Right. It's a very important point. The union members have already agreed to very significant pay cuts. But the governor in Wisconsin, Walker, has said, no, that's not enough, because what I'm really after is to destroy your rights to bargain collectively. Now, we are still a democracy, so if working people decide that they want to have some collective organization to support them, it seems to me that's a fundamental right.
Where did the ideology come from that public sector workers are living off of us, off of our tax dollars, as though they don't pay any taxes and they don't have the same responsibilities as the rest of us?
Well, it's come from this right-wing Republican attack on working people that's come out of the recession, pure and simple.
But they're saying, no, we got to balance the budget or else we're going to destroy the middle class. We're actually for working people, just not the working people that you're talking about, Robert.
Yeah, well, they are the middle class, and they're upholding the rest of the middle class. They are teachers. They are hospital workers. They're policemen, and they're not making more than everybody else. They're making less on average.
Do you see this argument stopping in Wisconsin as stridently as it has been cast, or do you see it spreading across the country?
Well, it is spreading, and the reaction is also spreading. So somehow the truth has to come out, and it has to be resolved in a way that is good for our economy, our society, and maintaining standards of fairness throughout the economy.
A battle between the private sector and the public sector, or between unionized workers and the political establishment. Robert Poland describing that. He's professor of economics and co-director of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts, author of A Measure of Fairness, The Economics of Living Wages and Minimum Wages in the United States. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.